Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went there with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
You've just listened to the Christmas story according to Luke chapter 2. It's interesting that the Christmas story seems to gather people together. I think it actually speaks to a deep ache in our world. The ache that when we look to the future, we look to it with a lot of fear. It's like generation after generation, when there's the unknown in front of us, we're kind of like, I don't know if you want to raise a family in that future. Or what could be, and in doing so, we often want to go back and, you know, remember the good old days, as if there was no struggle there, or no obstacles, or no darkness, or sin, or issues there, right? But there's something about how having lived out of pain and seeing the process that it has produced, we look back and say, that was better than what could possibly be in front of us. And so it's like we're actually worried to celebrate Christmas in a fresh way. Like this year may not be the greatest Christmas ever for you, for your family, for those that you will celebrate with. I actually think it's this huge idea that we gather around the Christmas story because for just a moment, we're hoping that Christmas is everything that it promises, right? That the world would for just a second be merry and bright. That is until somebody decides that we need to take a family picture. And then we're reminded that nobody can ever look at the camera at just the right time, at all the same time, for our holiday to be picture perfect. That's just not life. I always say, and you'll hear me say it again, that the holidays seem to be the great magnifier. When the highs are around the holidays, they get higher. But when the hard embraces the holidays seem to make that even harder. But you've heard Luke chapter 2, and I just want to invite us back to that typical standard nativity. That we've all kind of thought through and looked around and thought about and who shows up at the manger. Because this year we've been saying that Christmas has to be way more than just a story to be read or a holiday to be celebrated. That God has to have something more for us than that. It's the actual presence of Christmas. I don't know what your nativity looks like. It's your house. I'm sure that you have one, if not multiple of them. But if you were to step into the Myers living room and look across the mantle, you would see the willow tree version of the nativity scene. Your standard camel with sheep and donkey that all sit still and be quiet, just like the shepherds asked them to. A few wise men, an angel, Mary, Joseph, and of course, a baby, Jesus. But that nativity speaks of a story that has happened. And at the Myers house, we believe that God is continuing to tell a story. And so we kind of started a tradition several years ago that the nativity needs to grow and it needs to embrace what's going on in life. And so if you actually show up to our nativity alongside of all the willow trees, well, there's got to be Santa showing up in a Cowboys jersey. Because every year, the Myers family asked Santa for another Super Bowl win for the Cowboys. And let's just say Santa hasn't delivered for a couple decades. The willow tree angel gets left in the box, and we now have a nutcracker angel. Because our girls dance, and this weekend, actually, they're in the Nutcracker performance down at the QCT, and we just needed to make sure that, well, the Nutcracker shows up in the nativity. Well, Olaf's kind of a big deal. And somebody has to remind us that even the least likely among us deserve a place at the nativity, right? That no snowman shows up in Bethlehem, but somebody that is probably unlikely to show up in the story is going to be the person that holds the star and reminds us who Jesus is. And so Olaf holds the star above baby Jesus in our nativity. And this year we've added a new one because, well, Fuel thinks that Hulk Smash is the greatest thing to ever dawn the earth. And so we're reminding ourselves that no matter how big our human muscles are and whatever we accomplish in this life, if it doesn't find itself surrendered to the life of Jesus, it's all for naught. And so Hulk Smash has shown up there. And I don't know how your family kind of celebrates the wonder of the Christmas season, but at our house, we love to have a lot of fun. And so the elf on the shelf shows up, and we have three girls, and so we have a female elf. Her name's Jovi from the movie Elf, and she shows up in all sorts of crazy ways at our house. But somehow, every Christmas Eve, she ends up in the nativity as the reminder that the greatest things in life always need to land themselves within the story of Jesus, that that's where the real action takes place. That's where the real messes are made right again. You see, our world needs far more than just another Christmas story or a holiday to be celebrated. It needs us to engage in the nativity story. That's what we've been looking at in the letter that Paul writes to Titus. I want you to jump in there. Titus chapter 2 this morning. While you're jumping there, I know that December is packed with lots of stuff. And so if you remember what you did yesterday, you're doing great. But you likely don't remember what you did last week or the week before that. And so while you're jumping to Titus 2, let me just catch us all up in where we've been and where we're at. Titus chapter 1 says that, well, if you can put together a Christmas tree, you can do the things that God's calling you to, right? That there is something that we have to stand on, something that has to hold the Christmas tree up. And, you know, it's a Christmas tree stand. Whatever that looks like at your house, you just know it has to withstand whatever the season throws at it. Because the cat's coming at the Christmas tree. And if the cat doesn't knock the tree over, the toddler's going to grab at the ornaments and yank it down, right? You know that it has to withstand that. But it's just a bucket in the living room unless it has a tree in it. And so there needs to be a tree in order for Christmas to happen with the Christmas tree. And it's just a shrub in your living room unless it has Christmas lights. Because something has to remind you, right, that even in the darkness of night, something needs to draw you into the wonder of what is happening. Why are we actually celebrating this season? And Titus introduces us right at the very beginning of the letter that there is an ultimate messenger. And in the person of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you can find yourself anchored in a stand that can withstand any and every season. He is the ultimate messenger bringing great hope. But then there's a message. There's got to be something that tells us it's Christmas. And so within this letter is this idea that there is a message of faith. And this message of faith is anchored in the person and the work of Jesus. And it declares and casts hope based on the promises that are found in Scripture. And then there's an invitation. There's an invitation to become high-powered LED Christmas lights for you and for me to be messengers of this great message that others might get to experience the hope found in Jesus. That's the invitation to the letter of Titus. And then all of a sudden, there goes into this chapter all of these character attributes, like that we actually have to take this stuff serious. That Jesus actually shows up and he doesn't just tell a story, he invites us into a new lifestyle. And character matters in this conversation. And so there's the way of the Cretans to be a liar, to be undisciplined, to be evil, to be a glutton. And contrasted within this section is this invitation to live out of who God is redeeming you to be. And rather than being a beast and evil, to be self-controlled and kind. Rather than being a glutton, to live with discipline. Rather than being evil, to actually live above reproach. And it goes on and says, it's not just about what's going on inside of you. It ought to impact the way you live with each other. Like, rather than having a battle of the generations, younger people ought to learn from older people, and older people ought to embrace younger people. Men and women, we ought to complement each other's strengths and weaknesses rather than dividing against each other. And you know that whole title thing? You know, the letters that come before your name or after your name, or the different things that we put in place within our society to elevate certain people. Like Titus says, let's get rid of that stuff in the way that we hang out with one another. Let's actually just treat all people like they're essential and they have value, and treat them like Jesus would treat them. All of this is happening, and then all of a sudden, the text that we're jumping into this morning takes place. So you might go, how in the world do I do that? Well, you don't. But the Nativity invites you in to take part in the person and the life of Jesus and to actually come alive. Look what happens in Titus chapter 2, verse 10. All of this that I've just shared with you has taken place, and it says, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Declare these things. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. If you want to take Christmas to the next level, then you recognize that the presence of Christmas changes us. And the only way that we're actually changed is to embrace the ultimate messenger, to allow him to go to work in redeeming our lives. There's just really some key words in this text that I think are really helpful in unpacking the power of the presence of Christmas. You see it in verse 10. So that in everything that's going on in your life, what should you do? Well, the text actually tells you to start decorating the Christmas tree. Did you see it? It said, adorn yourself. That's actually ornament language. Like, actually start putting ornaments on in your life that adorn you with the teachings that align with the person and the work of Jesus. That's what's to happen. Do you remember in chapter 1 where you heard the name of God show up? He's God the Father. He's a God who doesn't lie. He's a God who sends Jesus, the saving King. God shows up. And when people see God show up, they start to ask themselves the question, what do I do with the one who is changing me and has the power to transform me? And this text says you start putting within your life ornaments that tell you of the memory and the legacy, and the things that Jesus is doing, can do, and wants to do in your life. All this character stuff that we've seen in this letter, it's not about making you a better person. It's about making you a completely new person. About Jesus ridding you of all the things that are dying inside of you because of the broken world that you and I live in, and him producing a new identity, one that is alive again. This text says to adorn yourself with the teachings of Jesus. There's another thing that happens here. If you're looking at the text, you see that twice in verse 11 and in 13, it says the appearing of Jesus changes things. That God appeared bringing salvation for all people. And in God showing up in his appearing, the description of that word is grace. That God has gifted you. He has put a present underneath the tree that you are to open. And in opening up the grace of God in your life, you're going to start seeing things in new ways. You're going to start living out of the salvation that God has placed in you. And if you're looking at the text, you see that it's going to change you. It's going to help you live a self-controlled and upright and godly life in a world that is at times chaotic and broken, hurting, and painful. God already has appeared, but the text reminds us that he's going to appear again. And so we anticipate that hope. There's a hope as a part of this text. It's called the blessed hope. If you're looking through how Paul words this, it's an ornament that we've been looking at as we've walked through this letter. It's the hope of eternal life. But remember, God's not just interested in showing up someday in a far-off future. God is interested in being present with us right here, right now. Can I remind you of the gift that we have in Jesus? I think sometimes it's just really easy to forget the gift that we have in Jesus. We just say, well, yeah, Jesus is the reason for the season. But you recognize that Jesus doesn't show up in the way that's expected. He shows up in the ways that are needed. Let me just walk through a few of Jesus' titles in life and help us remember the gift that we've been given. Jesus is God, the creator of all things. You know, the one who sat with the Father and the Holy Spirit in the Genesis account and created all things. That Jesus who showed up and created all things, he didn't choose to be born into a place of luxury. but rather into a family of humble means. And so this year, if life doesn't look the way you want it to look, if, well, you seem like you don't have enough, your family doesn't have enough, maybe the nativity is inviting you in a new way to remind you that's exactly where Jesus is at. And maybe if you have everything that you could possibly want and more, and yet there's still this emptiness inside of your aching soul, maybe this is Jesus reminding you that everything that could be offered is, well, it's all for naught unless you know the reason in which you've been entrusted the gift to steward. Jesus shows up, the creator of all things, not into luxury, but into humble means. Jesus the Messiah. Jesus the Messiah doesn't choose the easy route in life, but he actually chooses the struggle, subjecting himself to the temptations of a dark, lonely, and hard wilderness. And if you feel like you've been walking through a wilderness season, maybe this is Jesus inviting you into Christmas to know the power of his presence, even in the hard seasons. Let me remind you of the friend that you have in Jesus. He didn't most commonly hang out with the people of status, but rather befriended even the least among him. And maybe you gather around this season feeling like you're not enough. You'll never measure up. You'll never find that significant other. Maybe that's Jesus' reminder to you that he wants to show up in a new and fresh way for you and me this Christmas. Jesus, the leader. It's always interesting that Jesus didn't invite the elite to be a part of his leadership, but rather he invited everyone to join him in living within the presence of God. He invited them then, he's inviting them now, and he extends the invitation that we could be with him forever. Jesus the teacher. Jesus the teacher, he did not teach on the biggest stages with his fan club surrounding him, but rather Jesus the teacher showed up in the mundane arenas of people's lives. And he surrounded himself even with his harshest critics. And so if life seems to be critiquing you at every corner, maybe Jesus wants you to experience Christmas new and fresh this year. Jesus, the saving king, he didn't choose the Hallmark version of death. Jesus, the saving king, didn't, you know, pick the peaceful way out with a peaceful death. All of his family and friends gathered to say their right last things. No, Jesus, the saving king, picked the path to the cross. It was a sacrificial path. And he even chose the darkness of a tomb. Jesus, the victorious one. Can I remind you that Jesus, after he had experienced all this world had, and he overcame spiritual and physical death, that we wouldn't have our sins separating us from the love of the Father anymore, when he was victorious over all of that, he didn't hoard the victor's crown. Matter of fact, he said, I'm going to go back to the Father, my rightful place at the right hand of God, and I'm going to keep pleading on your behalf. And not only am I going to do that, but I'm going to send you the Helper, the Holy Spirit, so that the presence of Christmas can indwell you in a powerful and personal way. The gift we have in Jesus. The text says that the appearing of Jesus changes everything, bringing salvation that provides for us a new identity. And it casts for us a new hope as we anticipate the fullest appearing of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the age to come. I think it's really important as we look at the life of Jesus that we remember that Jesus isn't just Lord and Savior. Jesus is actually the embodiment of God. Are you ready to celebrate Christmas, the appearing of Jesus in your life? This text does something else. It's interesting. It's focused on Jesus, and rightfully so, but it brings us into the story by saying you ought to put on the ornaments that are changing you, that are showing how God has shown up in your life, and keep decorating yourself with the person and the work of Jesus because it will transform you. And keep living out of the fact that Jesus shows up. But then it says this. It says, declare these things. Here's the invitation, right? All throughout the letter of Titus is an invitation for you and I to become a messenger. To be a part of delivering the gift of hope to the world around us. We're the lights. We're these high-powered LEDs that help people see the message that can change them, that invites them into a personal relationship with the ultimate messenger. And so this text says, declare these things, or become a messenger of these things. And it says, with all authority. Authority seems to scare people because it, you know, has a aura of power about it. That's why I took some time to walk us through how Jesus exercised his authority. This text is saying, with all authority, everything that you have, use it like Jesus used it. Show up the way Jesus shows up. Don't do it half-heartedly. Do it confidently. If Jesus is changing your life, then everything that you do, every interaction that you have in your internal being and with your external relationships, all of that, with great authority, declare the message that you have been given. If you believe that Jesus is the hope of the world and that he is going to appear again and bring about all of that hope and all of eternity is marked by great grace, then that ought to change your today. As I've been listening and walking through this season, I took the opportunity to learn from pastor and scholar N.T. Wright. He says this, if the future is shaped by saving grace, then the present must anticipate that. If the future is shaped by a confidence of Jesus appearing, then the present ought to expect Jesus to be showing up. And so with every aspect of our life, we lean into the authority that Jesus has in us, and we share that with others. Throughout this series, we've been recognizing that God is calling us into being a living Christmas tree, that he's inviting us to be messengers of the greatest message the world has ever known. And in being great messengers, that people would see the power and the work of Jesus on display in the world that we're living in right now. And sometimes that's hard to quantify. And so none of this do we share to pat ourselves on the back. This is just real life stuff. This is how Jesus is shaping and changing the world. We believe that the message is important. And so we said we're going to rethink Christmas. And this year specifically, we said we're not only going to rethink Christmas, we're going to rethink. We're going to recapture a heart of gratitude because Jesus is changing us as a people. And we want to live out of that gratitude, and we want to connect our heart and our head with our hands. And we said we're going to come alongside of certain organizations and bless them. One of those being the Bible Project that is doing a great work around our world to make sure that people have access to the scriptures in a way that is compelling and informative and gives them application to put directly into their lives. We said we want to partner with the Bible Project. We also said not only do we want to give gifts, we do that every year, but we want to make sure that people all around the world have the opportunity to have gifts that matter. And so we're doing the Brown Box Project, and we're sending these brown boxes to the hardest to reach country groups, and with them, a missionary takes in the message and invites people into a relationship with the ultimate messenger. We said we want to partner with that. We also said that we believe in the next generation, that we're not going to live scared. We're going to steward that which God entrusted us with. And we believe that students need a space amidst a noisy world to step away from it all and to be reminded at camps alongside of students and sponsors of the power of Jesus at work in their life. And we want to invest in the next generation by scholarshiping students to have this experience. And as of this week, through Rethink Christmas, the body of Christ has come together and taken serious the message of Jesus and said, we want to illuminate the world differently, and $70,500 have been raised for Rethink Christmas. Jesus is and does show up when we, his people, take serious the invitation to become messengers. So this morning, collectively, we're doing something that's changing all of eternity because we're adorning ourselves with the person and the work of Jesus. We're allowing Jesus to appear in our world right as we see it, right as we live within it. And with all the authority or all the influence that God is gifting us and entrusting us to steward, we're going to use it to point people to Jesus. But I want to invite you back into your living room. Because this isn't just a story for us collectively. This is a story that God has entrusted you to share with your family and your friends. And it ought to transform your home. And so can I just ask you to look across your mantle or your cabinet or your coffee table? Wherever your nativity is, can I just ask you, do you see yourself sitting within that nativity? Do you see yourself appearing with Jesus in the change that he is bringing about within the world? In your life, do you have the least likely among you that actually remind us of who Jesus is and who holds the star? And the way that you're raising your children, your grandchildren, your neighborhood kids, do you see them as future divine messengers? Are you investing in them in that way? In your entertainment, do you spend more time cursing at the Cowboys? Or do you invite Jesus in to the spaces of your life? As you invest in the next generation, what muscles are you building for them? Are you building ones that will last for a season, or are you building within them a spiritual muscle that is capable of enduring all time through the life of Jesus? And however you gather around the wonder of Christmas, do you allow Jesus to be central to everything you are and everything that you do? Jesus is inviting you in to the presence of Christmas because you nor the world needs just another Christmas story to be read or another Christmas holiday to be celebrated. What we all need is the actual presence of Christmas, a God who showed up in the flesh and is changing us. Let me invite you back in to seeing yourself within this story. and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." From one messenger to another, may we be part of being the presence of Christmas.